Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
We were talking a little bit earlier about the potential of xenophobic violence here in South Africa. It's actually become a very serious issue because one of the main reasons, of course, being our level of unemployment, and something I've said many, many times, when you're sitting at your table and there's plenty of food to eat, you don't mind other people joining. But when you are hungry and there's very little for you or your family, people do become resentful. So that in many ways is the basis for it, but it doesn't mean that that it is smart to place people at risk. How do we deal with this? The second attempt by Dudula operation to march through the streets of Heilbrow has apparently been successful. The group has targeted South African-owned shops suspected of hiring more foreign nationals. The group delivered its 100% employment demand to shop owners. We wanted to try and understand the risk placed on foreigners in South Africa by this type of behavior. Sarah Mote is the Vulnerable Groups Manager at Foundation of Human Rights. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. It's a very difficult situation, isn't it?
Certainly difficult for every young person in the continent. You mentioned unemployment as a huge challenge for this country. In fact, it's not a today's issue. Over 2 to 3 generations in households where young people or families have not seen anyone working. The levels of poverty and unemployment in this country in particular, compared to other countries, is staggering. It's amazing. You're talking of certain wards in Soweto. For example, around 2018, I was in Ward 4 in Soweto, where one of the councillors confirmed that 97% in his ward were economically stressed by two things, crime and food in the table. So what does that mean to any person in a household where, before COVID, we learned from Oxfam studies that 25% of our population, about 14 million, were not having meals daily. And then during COVID, that number went to 26 million or 27, because we are a nation of about 58 million. It went to half of every household not having anything to put on their table. And what does that mean? What does that wound do to a young person growing up, not knowing anyone who works within that family, and then now, conflated by the COVID situation, and that the number of people lost their jobs, and then the employers found an opportunity to maximize profits by, employing, vulnerable people who do not have maybe documentation and exploit their labor for profit.
So what can be done about the situation? How do we find a balance? Is the problem really there, or is it the problem with government having let its people down?
Certainly government has not listened to problems of South Africans, problems of young people. You have institutions that are set up to service young people. However, they are really visible in the communities to help young people with programs that will uplift their lives. Let alone that you have people who go through schooling and university or postgraduate, or post-matric education, and then they come out still not having jobs, and you have associations for unemployed graduates. So that tells you that there's a huge problem in this country. Mm. Yet we know there are enough resources. I'll give you an example if you're looking for solutions. The problem of gender-based violence, according to the KPMG report, it costs South Africa something between 28 billion to 42 billion rand. That money, when the you know, chop it down, what it can do, what services. It can provide, number one, youth wage subsidies for 100% of youth who are currently unemployed. It can also pay child support grants for 8 years and from now. Just that figure that we spend per year. It can build over 500,000 RDP houses. I'm reading page 5 of that report. It's not something that I'm fumbling.
Right, absolutely. Yeah.
It can pay also 900,000 engineering student fees, let alone pay disability grants for 2 years. And support grants. I mean, I've mentioned the support grants, and it can also pay, you know, 50% of the national health insurance, you know, for people living below the poverty line. So, I'm just talking about a figure that we spend per year on gender-based violence, which is also some of the illnesses that are affecting our society, where the vulnerable are also, you know, being used as a scapegoat for internalized form of anger, because to violate someone, either physically, you know, psychologically, sexually, it's a form of internalized form of anger. Same as this seed of unemployment, where for over years we have had close to 1,000 protests every year, every day. That's what, you know, according to some research, according in 2012. Where people were protesting every day on service delivery, youth unemployment, you name it, and restarted and it became a casualty just for service delivery. I will not talk about corruption and the newly, you know, launched reports by Zondo Commission, where we lost 1.5 trillion rand between 2014 and 2019.
Numbers, absolutely.
And we're still struggling to find out how much services, how much jobs can that amount create? We still need to calculate that. Yet we still are stuck with the numbers of the, you know, KPMG report and the services it can provide. But certainly there's something that the young people are calling for, that the government systemically, it must respond to their plight. But I don't think that the way in which they are carrying out the operation is the right way. They should focus their attention to government, to the employers, to business, to corporate, because these problems, if you talk about the quotas of employment, who employs migrants disproportionately? It's the employers, and they are now creating, you know, the tensions between the people who are at the lower strata of society.
So this is effectively a focus on the employer. Even though there's recognition that the problems don't necessarily start with the employer. This is just, unfortunately, the situation that employers find themselves in. Is that correct?
Yes, as you're saying that, in Hillbrow, they were handing out memorandums to the employers to make sure that the quotas are fair. Yeah. That's one. And then number two, our government, the South African government, has benefited a lot from other African countries. For example, if you talk of, you know, how we benefit at the social level, many of our state women and men, they have, you know, families across borders. They have wives, they have husbands, they have brother-in-laws, daughter-in-laws across the borders. That's one. Secondly, the fact that most of our heroes today in the struggle, they were able to be housed or assisted with their education, with their fight against apartheid while living in other African countries. And then the problem with our African governments collectively is, even though some of our African countries had received independence, you know, almost 5 or 6 decades ago, but still the issue of our resources not owned by us as Africans, but they come out of Africa as raw materials. They get processed somewhere else and then get to be, you know, sold back to us. For example, all of us, the clothes we wear, they are not even made in this continent, yet we are a huge producer of the raw material. The cars that we drive, they come out. I mean, South Africa has the largest steel and copper you know, and chrome material underground, but we don't manufacture any of our cars here. They come as in now a product that then assembled somewhere, and then so let alone, for example, we're even stopped from producing chicken ourselves, through you know, to raise chickens. Now our chicken is being exported and then imported, and then we just assemble and package and put it on the shelf. These are the things we need to begin, you know, challenge. The young people begin to challenge the fact that our factories where we were producing lots of our textile were closed, and now we have all these imports coming to us to be sold, and we just consuming at a large scale, not being involved in production.
That is where we leave it. Very interesting and very important conversation. Sarah Motta, who is the Vulnerable Groups Manager at Foundation of Human Rights, talking about the Tudula operation concerns and around foreigners in South Africa. It is 8:30. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.